This is Mel Levan, and I'm the new principal at Kodiak High School.
I'm Melissa Halfman, new principal at Kodiak Middle School.
Nicole First, new principal at AK Teach.
All right. So you guys, welcome to the administration. I know that you guys just came out of in-service, right? Before we talk about your backgrounds and the first couple of days of school, because this is the second day of school for everyone, for some of the grades at least, can we talk a little bit about what in-service was? Because that's like a look into the back end of the education world. Who can explain what that involves?
Well, I mean, I guess if we went to specifics in my building, we had a half a day in service, not last Friday, but the Friday before, and we focused on team building. But then the district-wide in service, which were the following 4 days, some themes that emerged in the team building in my building was carried through. And then we had a wrap-up last Friday, a half day, which was more directed at how we're going to get through this week. It was a pretty engaging time for students. And then the district provided specific training in addition to training that was targeted or discussions that were targeted to issues in my building.
How much of the training is preparing teachers to deal with their subject matter versus dealing with behavior? Like, how is that leveled out?
I think that differs by school. I can tell you that in secondary, our primary focus was beginning the conversation with our teachers about where we want our schools to go and starting that visioning process. So we use the bulk of our time to say, what's important to you? Who are we? And to lay the groundwork for this upcoming year where we're going to involve students and parents, community members, along with our staff to design, you know, the next phase of our schools.
And, Nicole, first, you're with AK Teach. It's a bit of a smaller team. Could you talk a little bit about how you prepare for the year, essentially?
So because we are a year-round school, 12 months a year, we're always open, things were a little bit different for us, but we still participated in the district in service. Our team felt like it was important to connect with our colleagues and learn together where things were important. And that started with a building in service day on August 18th, where we hosted rural schools for the day. And we learned together on a variety of tech tools that will be used for distance learning. And then we spent more time together in smaller groups learning a variety of skills and then breaking out to our building specific needs. So. And then throughout the week, we tried to connect where it was appropriate with our colleagues in the district and learn with our colleagues in the district so that we are up to speed with what the district is expecting. We also had a homeschool parent who attended part of the district in service, too. And we have had homeschool parents participate in professional development in the past provided by the district and provided by AK Teach. That's something that we're excited about, to work with our home educators as colleagues.
And when you are a parent and a teacher, is there a particular schedule that you suggest they follow?
So in a lot of the homeschool podcasts that are pretty popular, they suggest having a schedule so that you can be flexible. That's one of the big pieces of advice that's coming from the homeschool moms who are out there as very experienced and entrepreneurs. And so they're saying, have a schedule to be flexible. So you want to make sure that you're building in enough time so that you get in all of your core learning, but still have a chance to extend and explore. And so those schedules tend to be determined at home by the educator. Our homeschool coordinators support those educators by helping them build a learning plan that's pretty extensive, pretty detailed, and connects to a variety of learning objectives that each parent determines with that homeschool coordinator. So everything's pretty planned out, and then parents choose the way that the day flexes.
As far as objectives go, is there a certain common goal you try to get most homeschooled students too, like to make sure that they're learning at the same rate or faster than students in a more regulated system?
So when it comes to homeschool, that's a more individualized approach. And so there's a lot of one-on-one learning that can happen in that experience. And parents choose to be the educator and in that role when they're looking to guide that. It allows parents to have some flexibility in adding additional learning or deepening learning. And so parents can extend on a different topic if they'd like to. And they work with our coordinators to pick those learning targets. We do standardized tests. And so that's part of the expectation. And if you are, you know, scoring on a standardized test in a certain way, we have requirements for having an ILP. So we use those individualized learning plans to guide all of that so that if a parent wants to go faster than on grade level learning, that's built into the plan. If a parent needs to extend learning or support learning, those are all built into the plan. So our goal is to help parents help their kids either perform on grade level or higher.
And so what are some of the reasons parents usually give for homeschooling their kids?
So we see a variety of reasons why a parent would choose to homeschool. And as I was saying before, they like to extend learning. They like to help students or help their children pursue passions, develop skills that they may not have an opportunity during the regular school day. They might like to do outdoor schooling where they like to spend a lot more time tide pooling, those sorts of things. So they're looking for a flexible learning day. And that's the main reason that a parent is going to choose to homeschool. So sometimes parents are transient, as we have a significant Coast Guard population that joins us here in Kodiak. And so we see a lot of our population from the Coast Guard base. We also see a significant population from people around the state who are either in isolated areas or they're choosing to homeschool for the reasons that I mentioned before. But the main reason that parents choose to homeschool is they're looking for flexibility and they want that one-on-one learning experience with their child.
And so I know you mentioned that AK Teach works all year round. Has there been any changes within the last few days? I know that the middle school and the high school are getting going. Has there been any change of schedule for you guys as far as that goes?
So our certified staff gets a break during the summer. So they came back on board with the rest of the district certified staff on the 18th. And so we're at full steam during the summer. We have a smaller group of professionals who are supporting our homeschool. But so we're full steam and we're seeing kind of that boom of enrollment right now as parents are choosing where they're going to go, what they're going to do, because just like schools get started around the same time, homeschools get started around the same time too, because a lot of homeschool families like to take a summer break too as part of their learning experience.
I'm sure that's one of the many advantages of kind of having your schedule formed by your own family. I'm sure that's a great advantage. And could you guys talk a little bit about how you reentered the school district in your new positions?
Sure, I can begin. So I was a teacher here fresh out of college in 2002 and taught elementary school for 6 years and then moved into district administration. Took a six-year hiatus. We traveled, I call it a walkabout, down south, and my family returned in October with two little kids. We wanted to raise our family here. And so I took a position as assistant principal at the middle school, which I'm very grateful for because it helps me, you know, work alongside the teachers to start up this school year as the principal at the middle school.
Okay. So could you talk a little bit about how your former position kind of has prepped you for this new stage?
Mm-hmm. I would say the time in the building and getting to know, you know, our kids and our families, but primarily the building the relationship with the teachers in the building, because we have a significant amount of new and younger staff that I didn't know before I left the island 6 years ago. That partnership with the staff has been invaluable. It's not that, you know, the assistant principal, Brett Simpler, and I did all the work to start up the school year. It is really, truly a partnership. An example of that is one of our English language arts teachers developed lesson plans for the whole school to use in homeroom to help familiarize all of our kids with the new rules at the school. Everybody's chipping in.
And I'd be curious, could you talk a little bit about where you went on your travels?
Oh, sure. We moved down to Colorado, and I took a job at Colorado College as a director of innovative technology. Worked there for 3 years and loved it. I found that I missed K-12. Loved higher ed. I'm grateful for the experience, but I missed K-12. So I took a job at a district outside of Seattle and ran a large 21,000 iPad rollout for that school district. And so then we had an opportunity to travel around a bit because, you know, I have two little kids and to spend time with them. So we went down to New Zealand and we traveled around in a camper van with our little babies. And it reminded us so much of home, how it looked and then the small communities. And we'd spent enough time away. We wanted to come back and raise our kids here and live in a small community. I found that in my time away, I'd never worked for a place like this district, and I wanted to be a part of it.
So you said that you missed K through 12. Is there something about younger students that really interested you or called you back, or is it about the system itself, or what do you think?
I think it is working with a different age group where you feel like you can make more of an impact. That, and I think there's also something unique about our district here and our community. Being an island that people choose to come to, I miss that sense of community and the fact that we all work together to support our young kids and develop the vision for, you know, what our community is going to be when they enter the workplace here and become adults here. That's what drew me back.
And so could you describe a little bit of your background?
Well, I was born in Seward in 1959. And I actually have a Kodiak connection for people, the old-timers here. My uncles, Sid and Martin Urey, ran a business, Solly's Office, for years in the 60s and 70s. Actually, the first time I came to Kodiak was on one of the first trips of the Testamina to Kodiak in the summer of 1964. So I did, as a young boy, I saw what people referred to as Kodiak when crab was king. I saw that firsthand down on the mall. And Larry Ledoux actually hired my wife as the chemistry teacher in the fall of 1991, and I tagged along, and he worked me into the system and offered me my first contract in the spring of 1992. So I've been a teacher at Kodiak High School since then.
And you said you were doing all of math and science at one point?
Well, I was hired as a math teacher, and then in 1995, when my wife had our first son, Axel, she went half-time, and I started teaching chemistries in the afternoon. And then my last few years, I was teaching mostly chemistry, and just the only math class that I was teaching was, well, actually two math classes, first and second year college calculus. So.
Wow. So you had a lot to cover. Is there one subject that really you really enjoyed teaching?
Well, and this is the connection that I have with the superintendent, Dr. Ledoux. I think he told me that this was going to happen when he first interviewed me, and I think if I look back on my career, it didn't happen all at once at any point, but somewhere along the line, it switched over from a focus on the content to the focus on the students. So I really feel that taking over as Kodiak High School's principal is just a natural transition for me.
Hmm. And so do you have any other administration experience, or has mostly been teaching?
No, the closest that I have to any administrative, and it's not within the administrative circles, I was the teacher union or teacher association president for 5.5 years during the time that I worked. I worked very closely with the previous superintendent, Betty Walters, and we established a working relationship that was a model statewide for cooperation between the teachers association and a district.
Do you feel like you brought anything from that position that you'll apply?
Well, I mean, balancing my day because, I mean, I would be teaching full time, and then since there was no release time to be the president, I mean, that represented 220 teachers, I had some experience of, you know, things shifting really quickly. And I don't know if it's what the reference is, but I saw online a study done, an American high school principal tends to make a decision every 9 minutes, and I think that's what I'm experiencing that real time as principal.
And how many days have you been serving in your new role?
Well, I was hired in the spring, and I went to work right away. I spent the summer working with Dr. Ledoux, and I mean, both learning my own job and talking about district-wide issues. So I think I shook hands with the previous principal, Chris Aguirre, I think June 6th. That's even if it's not a contractual thing, that's when I start my clock as being principal.
So before the school doors open and welcome all the students in, what kind of issues are you guys tackling in the days leading up to the beginning of school?
Well, I guess, I mean, I'll just, since I'm talking, I'll continue. I interviewed with a vision of Kodiak High School being an open and inclusive community where everyone is actively and joyfully learning. And I'd say the dominant conversation between myself and the superintendent over the summer was how to bring that to my building. And to some degree, the superintendent has brought that to all the schools. He told us in an administrative meeting, and the teachers heard it in service, that bringing joy back into the classroom is definitely a focus for him this year.
So I'm not very familiar with the education realm, so I'm going to ask some questions that you may expect or not expect or be very familiar with or not familiar with, but in your own schools, do you give your teachers a set way of teaching, or do you kind of set them free and say, whatever, as long as you're covering these materials, then it doesn't matter how you go about it?
Well, the district has an adopted curriculum, and so that helps teachers guide. And then there's the state standards, and that also provides the foundation, you know, guidance on what is taught in each class or course. The implementation of that is where the art of teaching and professionalism steps in. And I would say that our superintendent, Dr. Ledoux, is focusing on, you know, encouraging teachers to explore the art of it, that's where the connections are made with our students. That's where they're hooked for lifelong learning and find their passion in life. So you could take the colder aspects of it, you know, a book or the standard itself, but we don't dictate. A classroom will look very different from one to another based upon the, you know, expertise or the personality of the teacher. And we value that here.
Do you feel like that speaks for your approach as well?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I support at the high school level, I definitely want to support my teachers. I mean, they don't have complete independence in their classroom, but under the guidelines of the overall district curriculum, I guess what I call the TOT curriculum has some flexibility in it for them to make choices and follow up on it, items that they have a passion for.
How much weight do you give standardized testing for determining whether the teachers are doing their job or whether the students are learning efficiently?
Well, in homeschool, it might be a little bit different than in public school, because parents are driving the choices, since parents are the first educators there. And so there's a difference. That's information that we provide to the parents. It's information that they can use to help guide the learning. As I said, we have requirements that we have to meet for state correspondence statute, and we follow all of those. And it, for us, it varies based on how interested the parents are. We have some parents who are very data-driven and who use the information that we provide from district screeners and from the state standardized tests to help them develop that ILP. And then there are other parents who have a different vision, and we provide the information to them, and they use it or they don't.
Okay. And how do you guys weigh standardized testing in the district?
Well, I mean, for quite a few years, there was mandatory tests that the state was giving, the high school qualifying exam. So students would have to pass the three tests in order to graduate high school. We're not there now. There aren't tests that the students have to pass. And I think we are wrestling with the problem of if you have a test that the district or the school is being held accountable for, but the students aren't directly accountable for, how do you do that? And Nicole is ahead of me or ahead of my building with individual learning plans, but one of the things that I'm bringing to the building is we are going to have individual learning plans at Kodiak High School, and I think it's going to be a seamless thing between us and AK Teach. And standardized testing will certainly be something that would be there on the plan because it'll inform the possibilities for the student in the future. So we want them to take them seriously because if they don't take them seriously, we're not getting any sort of information that we can use to help guide possibilities for their future.
Right.
For example, you know, and it's kind of neat that there's a time associated with some of these tests. So when I'm looking at test results and I see that a student took 5 minutes on a test that should have taken 2 hours, pretty much right away that they didn't take it seriously. And then the problem is when we look at the score, we don't know what it means in terms of their real ability.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in the middle school, do they take similar tests?
They do. The three primary assessments that we use are the PEAKS assessment, which is the new state assessment. The scores are just coming back. So I think for us, the most valuable part of it is looking at comparisons of how we performed, Kodiak Middle School compared to the district, Kodiak Middle School compared to the state. That's the level that we are looking at. We also have the AIMS Web, which is an assessment, and MAPS, which is given, AIMS and MAP are given twice, I'm sorry. Two tests are given three times a year, and PEAKS is given one time a year.
And so we only have a few minutes left, maybe a little bit under 10 minutes. But could you guys talk a little bit about what the first couple of days has looked like for your students?
So we've only had a day and a half at the high school, but we had a really good day yesterday at Kodiak High School. I mean, I can speak from direct observation on that. I went around every classroom, not every class, but we have 42 classrooms at Kodiak High School. I went around with the Student Council Vice President, R.J. Roy. We visited every classroom. And I had a little bit of a mission. I was dressed up in KHS Learn uniform, a hat that said KHS Learn, and blue Dickie coveralls with Dr. Mel in gold above the pocket. And we talked to students about, you know, my goal yesterday was to personally exchange names with every student. I don't think I accomplished that, but I came close. And I do know that I shook over 700 hands. Some of those were repeats. One student, I think, saw me like four times during the day, but it was a very, and again, I just had a walk through. Our classrooms were ready for learning. I didn't see teachers actually teaching because I walked in, interrupted, did my thing, and left. But it was a really cool day.
And did you shake many teacher hands, or have you gotten to know all the teachers already?
I know the teachers. We have a really cool mix of young and old, inexperienced teachers, but they're all super dedicated, and I think we're going to have a great year.
And what about you? Was today your first day, or was it yesterday?
Yesterday was the first day.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what was that like for you?
It was fantastic. I would say collectively the school prepped for this school year very well. Partnering with our families, our sixth grade team does a wonderful job with a Facebook group for all sixth grade parents. So, you know, the students moving from elementary to middle school, that was pretty seamless. I did check in with them at lunchtime, you know, asking how the first day went and at the end of the school, and I've got smiles everywhere. Smiles, and it's going well, and kids are feeling good. We have some schedule changes, which are expected, but I'd say that most of my time was spent working with sixth graders, helping them to learn how to unlock their locker. It's a very big deal in middle school.
And so the first couple of days for these students, is it mostly, do they jump right into their coursework, or do they do like a couple of days of introductions?
I can say for the middle school, they jump right into their coursework, and then sixth grade does a nice job of having a bonding day, and I think that's this Friday, and we have another event a week from now, or a week from Friday.
Yeah, I walked down to Melissa's building today, and I did notice, I think, 3 sixth graders that were very intent and red-faced trying to open their locker. So they don't lock their lockers at the high school, unfortunately.
And now we see the biggest barrier to education is the locker system.
Yes, we have to fix that first.
I do remember that part.
I can attest that my son came home, and that was his biggest struggle in sixth grade yesterday, the locker.
Like, Mom, the lockers are crazy in this system.
Yeah. Just got to keep practicing in the air.
And so what's the first, in the bigger picture, what's the first week look like? Is there like a goal you guys set, or just like, just get them familiar, you guys? Like, what do you tell the teachers?
Well, I guess we have the Friday early release, so I'm really interested to hear how the first week went. My teachers were, or are, the building teachers at the high school were ready to go, and I think they're going to have a great week, but we'll readjust it on Friday and plan for the next week.
I'd echo the same. The biggest changes for the middle school this year are basically is that we have bells, and we're working out the kinks of our bell schedule because they're ringing a little early today, we found out.
And so for AK Teach, is there anything new that you're pursuing for this, the coming few months?
So our big goal is to come home to Kodiak. Over the past 3 years, we've been serving the Digital Teaching Initiative grant, which has taken us all over the state and helped us build wonderful partnerships with people across the state. And so our big focus for this year is to come home, to concentrate on Kodiak, and to become a part of the community.
All right. It looks like we just have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything you want to leave listeners on, or did you want to say something about your school year?
I'd like to take this moment to talk with Kodiak about, we want to reach out and partner with our parents and community members at the middle school, and I know at the high school too, and Mel can speak to that. We would like to grow our parent-teacher organization, and beyond that, that if there are suggestions or recommendations, what electives you'd like to see, what our schedule could look like, our possible alignment with the high school, all of this, we want to have open dialogue with the community. And I know that we're very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I would say if there's one thing that I've fallen behind on, but it's right there, number one on my list, is we don't have an active parent organization at this moment at the high school. And that's first priority, to reach out to parents. And we will have an open house, but we'll do, I think it's like September 19th, but we're going to have things happening before then to get parent input and hopefully start forming up a parent group.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Did you want to add something?
Just that AK Teach is going to be starting up their homeschool events. We're going to have our usual fall events, including our Fall Harvest Festival event. And so we'll be just starting to bring families, homeschool families together for some family fun.
All right. So we've been speaking with some new school administrators. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.